Hey again! So, I was just in the bath between my last post and this post, and when I was there, I was thinking, and I realized that when I made my previous voice post, I completely mispronounced the word paradigm. It's, I pronounced it paradigm, and that's not how you pronounce it. But yeah, now I was thinking, I'm like, you know, I have the feeling that that's one of those words that I frequently mispronounce, but it can be pronounced like paradigm. It can't be pronounced with a hard G, so, and then it occurred to me that the simplest solution was perhaps the correct one, and that is paradigm. Yeah, it's funny, it's one of those words that I hear a lot, and that I read a lot, but I don't use enough, nearly enough, hardly ever, to actually connect one with the other and think, you know, this using terms from my wordy translation book, the connecting the semiotic symbol with the lexical meaning. I fail to connect those, and so such things as the previous occur. But I'm supposed to talk, / want to talk, about my winter break, and that began on December 19th, when, at about 10 o'clock at night, I met up with four other AKP students, and we took a night bus to Nozawa Onsen, which is a tiny town in the middle of Nagano Prefecture, which is to the north of the main island of Japan, Honshu, and has a different enough climate from where I am right now that on the third day there, we started seeing a lot of really heavy snow, which you get hardly any of down in Kyoto. I think we've had a few days of snow, and in none of them, and it hasn't stuck in on none of them has it stuck to the ground, and so we really haven't been getting it's been plenty cold, but we haven't been getting a very snowy winter, but Nozawa and Nagano in general have been getting quite a lot of snow, which is typical for them, and is part of actually why we went, because two of the people in our group, the two guys, wanted to go up there to go skiing. And so it's famous for skiing because of all the snow that they get there, and I guess like the climate, the terrain is suitable for skiing too, or at least I presume that that's the case. So the five of us, two guys who are going to go skiing and stay at a ski lodge, and three girls who didn't know how to ski and were going to just stay at a regular hotel, went to this little town, and Nozawa Onsen, as suggested by the second half of its name, which means hot spring in Japanese, is famous for its natural hot springs. The town has over 20, like, little springs, and, I mean, I don't know if they're individual springs or if they're all connected or they're all veins of the same spring, but in any case, it has over 20 free public baths that are just naturally heated by this water, and most of the people in the town take their evening baths in the free public baths. And we were able to go, I guess all four nights we were there, we were able to go to baths and basically take free baths. And it was really, well, here's one thing, it was really, really, really hot. You felt like you were being burned alive when you were in one of these things. At least on the first day, we all did. Like, I and the two other girls I was with, we just went in and we just, like, stared at each other incredulously, and or debated whether or not to move, because you felt that much hotter when you moved. You felt like your hands were burning up. Something to do with the surface area and or the fact that I could never, like, keep my hands still. But my hands and my feet, even when, like, the rest of my body was kind of, sort of, maybe almost a little bit adjusted to the heat, my hands and my feet were constantly, like, tingling in pain. On the first night, at any rate. The second night, except for, again, my hands and my feet, the rest of my body felt more or less okay with the temperature of the water, but I'm not actually sure whether that's a good thing, because I started feeling really dizzy and, like, exhausted and dehydrated. And so by the time we got out of that bath, like, my body was okay, but I was just so tired. I felt on the verge of passing out, which apparently you sometimes do when you're in really hot water for a long time. On the third day, we went to a bath you actually had to pay to enter, but the reason this was is that it was more like a little sort of spa where you had multiple sort of hot water courses. There was a sort of jacuzzi type thing, and then there was a sort of steam box, and then there was a little rivulet of water that ran down from something up there, and it like massaged your back, and there were these different things, and they were perfectly regulated in terms of temperature. It felt really wonderful, especially everything in sequence, except for the steam box, which is a box where basically only your head is sticking out and the rest of your body is like all steamed up, which made me feel kind of claustrophobic, and so I didn't spend very long in there. One of the other people I was with spent quite a long time and enjoyed the steam box, but I wasn't so keen. And for the record, the nicest thing about that whole place, I mean, all this whole kind of obstacle course of hot springs was really nice, obviously, but my favorite thing was actually probably the kind of dingier outdoor bath. And it wasn't, like, all that pretty. It was kind of, you know, cement pool, and there was hot water in it. But the really cool thing is that this was on the third day of our trip, and that was when it began to snow. And I don't mean just, like, little sprinkle snow like we get in Kyoto that doesn't stick to the ground. It was these really big, beautiful flakes, and they were definitely sticking, and they were just filling the air, and they did all afternoon. It was, like, really thick snow. And it was really kind of amazing to be in an outdoor hot spring and have snow fall on you, be falling on you at the same time, and just falling into the hot spring, and you see it melt, and, I mean, and it created this sort of cool effect, cool and or, I'm not sure whether it was possibly dangerous to our health, because, your body is, like, in this really kind of hot spring, but your head is really cool, in fact, even kind of cold because of all the snow, and, Danielle, one of the people I was with, her theory was that because your head is cool, your head doesn't think to slash know to regulate the rest of your body temperature, and or is not aware of the fact that the rest of your body is currently more than warm in the hot spring below, and so you don't realize that you're getting cooked until it's too late. But fortunately, nothing of that kind happened to us. I got a little dizzy, or not dizzy, tired again. Not as much as I had the previous night in crazy hot public bath, but a little tired, so I got out before they did. But it was just really neat. You had the snow falling down, you had the hot spring, you had a lot of steam rising up from the hot spring. You looked at each other, kind of constantly, incredulously amazed that it was so picturesque. And that was the sort of hot spring experience we got at Nozawa Onsen. With one other thing that basically completed this thing, and that is that in addition to all the hot springs that are used for public bathing, they also have a few that are reserved because they are too hot for people to go in. They are reserved for cooking vegetables. And Nozawa Onsen is, I mean, it's famous for a few things. It has really good soba, which we could attest to because we went to a really, really, really delicious soba restaurant the first day we were there. Soba is buckwheat noodles, and we went, it was, I feel ashamed that I've already forgotten the name of the soba restaurant, but it was really, really, really tasty. So they're known for that. They're also known for the wide assortment of pickled vegetables that they prepare there. Pickled vegetables are a staple of, I consider them an acquired taste, and a taste that, frankly, I haven't quite acquired for the most part. My host dad, like, loves them. And Kyoto is also famous for pickled vegetables, a different variety of pickled vegetables, but we're famous for them too. But Nozawa is particularly famous for its own brand, and a lot of those vegetables, before they are pickled, are prepared in the mega hot onspring. What? Onsen hot spring. And sometimes if you're just walking by in the afternoon and the evening, you see somebody from town just going over and bringing his lettuce over to cook in the onsen, or bringing his eggs or something, you know, just something that he wants to cook in the onsen, and that is then later to prepare it for food. Nozawa is also famous for its preservatives, like preserved peaches and stuff, and for apples, because apparently cold places, well, I can't say that as a general statement. I was about to say cold places are famous for apples, but that's not necessarily true. In any case, the three flavors of souvenir Kit Kats they sold, since I have an interest in such things, were apple, grape, and red pepper, which I almost wanted to buy, but eventually just the truth that I really don't like spicy things kept me from indulging, because, you know, I wouldn't be able to appreciate the ingenuity that is a red pepper Kit Kat, because I wouldn't enjoy it because it was spicy. But they sold those there. In any case, going back to the food onsen, there's the one that's specifically reserved for townspeople who want to cook stuff. But then there's a smaller one that you can use if you want to cook something. And my friend Ramel, who was one of the other people I was with, she bought an onsen tamago, which is a hot spring egg, which is basically a raw egg, and they gave her a little basket to put the egg in, and she cooked this egg in a hot spring, and then she ate it. And I don't really like eggs, so I didn't try it, but according to her and Danielle, it was really tasty. So we were able to cook an egg in a hot spring, and we were also able to use the nearby foot bath to warm our feet while we waited for the egg to cook. And basically, the trip as a whole, as you can imagine, basically the most adventurous things we did were eat good noodles, cook an egg in a hot spring, and go to a spa, was really relaxing. Like, we spent most of the day walking around town. It really wasn't a very big town at all. It was really small. It was very pretty. And on the first day or two before it was starting to snow, we were able to take walks up around the hills in the area, and the scenery was gorgeous. It was just beautiful, and I really enjoyed being able to do that. But yeah, we would do that, and then we would go to a bath in the evening, and then we would meet up with the guys after they'd finished skiing, and we would play board games, or we would drink a little, or we would do both at the same time. But and then I finished my Christmas card, and I should say, I forget whether I said this before, but Christmas card politics, because of the expenses of shipping, I haven't really been able to make or send enough Christmas cards to everyone that I usually do. Basically, one batch has gone out to family members, and hopefully that's gotten there and arrived at appropriate family member destinations by this time. And then there are some for people here in Japan, and these ones haven't been written yet, but I am hoping to send a Carlton batch, just because I'm hoping that I can put them all in one package and then count on my friends at the post office to open and then just put them in people's mailboxes. So remind me to do that, because I have the copies, I just need to write messages. But for everyone else who I normally send a Christmas card to and has not gotten one from me, it's not you, it's not me, it's the goddamn international postage rates. But next year, or the year after that, business will resume as normal. So that's the Christmas card caveat, but I finished coloring it when I was there, and if you are a member of my family and you do have that card, the scenery in the background is kind of a picture of the scenery I saw at Nozawa on the evening of the second day, right before it started to snow, when what would end up being snow clouds were moving in over the mountains. And if it looks pretty on the card, it looked even prettier in person. And if it doesn't look pretty on the card, it looked pretty in person. But it was just really neat that we were there and that we were having just sort of such a sort of peaceful time. I will say that the fourth day featured something quite different. The fourth day was when I had to leave for Tokyo and everyone else left for Kyoto, but on that day, before we all went our respective ways, we went to a national park that is famous for monkeys. And specifically, you can go to the monkey section of the park, and they feed the monkeys on a regular schedule so that they're actually down in the area where you're coming to visit. And you can basically go in this little area, and there are monkeys all around you, and they're like running right around. They're not in a cage. They're not separated from you in any way. They're running around by your feet. They don't care that you're there at all. They just pay no attention to you. But we were surrounded by monkeys. And as someone kind of bluntly commented, they weren't very cute monkeys. I mean, they're cute because they're monkeys, but they weren't like if a dog had that face, I would not say, oh, what a cute dog. I would be like, oh. And so, I mean, so they were ugly in a way that was appealing, nevertheless, because there were monkeys, and it was kind of amazing that there were monkeys. And they were running around, and there was a little hot spring, and the monkeys, yes, they entered the hot spring, and we got to watch them all just in the bath. And we were there for like an hour and a half. We were just taking lots and lots and lots of pictures, which I really, 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 really actually am going to upload at least a few of. So, monkeys. We saw monkeys. We took pictures of monkeys. Again, the monkeys were really, when I say they were indifferent to our presence, I mean they were completely indifferent to our presence. They did not care that we were there. And so, apparently also for the record, you should not attempt to engage the attention of monkeys. Like, you should not make eye contact, because if you make eye contact, they take this as a challenge, and then they start throwing stuff at you. Or so goes the rumor. So, we weren't encouraged to interact with monkeys, and that was easy, because they didn't really pay attention to us. Which basically left us free to take lots of pictures and to talk about how cute they were and to speculate whether the one monkey who was sort of resting on the edge of the bath with his hands out on the rock and just surveying the ground was in fact the big monkey boss. And apparently he might be. He might like legitimately be the current leader of the monkey clan. And so that was our adventure with monkeys. And after that, I went to Tokyo. And Tokyo was an adventure in of itself, not in the least of which was, need to start that sentence, it was an adventure for many reasons, not the least of which was that my bus, which was supposed to leave in the evening and arrive the next morning, actually left that afternoon and got me there at about 10:30 in the evening, which meant that I was in Tokyo a night before I expected to be, and I didn't have a hostel reservation for that night. So what ended up happening is I called my AKP friend Althea, who was there with her mother, just visiting Tokyo coincidentally at the same time, and basically asked if I could sleep on their hotel couch for the night, which they very, very generously allowed me to do. And so I was on that couch my first night in Tokyo, and I will say that there was one more adventure in store for me that day on the night bus, because not only did it get me to Tokyo much earlier than I had planned, but when I got off the bus, I got off A, at the wrong stop, and B, without my luggage, because I forgot, as I was on the phone and apologizing to Althea about how the bus had come in later than I expected, and also confused about where I was, I forgot that I had this big black suitcase that had all of my clothes and a few other things in it. And, fortunately, what I did have with me was A, like, my money, and B, basically all the important documents I needed. I had the maps to different places I needed to go. I had the phone numbers for X, Y, and Z. I had my Prince of Tennis musical ticket. I'm going to get to that in a day or two. But, basically, I forgot my suitcase with all of my clothes and a bunch of other things in it. And which meant that when I was at Althea's room, I needed to use their complimentary hotel bathrobe as pajamas. And I used my jacket as a blanket, and I made do that way. But, so I forgot this on the bus. And as soon as I got to Althea's hotel room, I called the bus company, and they said that it was too late at night for me to conceivably pick up the luggage, and so they were going to call me the next day. And that is when my adventure really began, because the next day, when they called me back, by this time I had made my way via my handy-dandy map to the hostel I was supposed to be staying at, and I'd acquainted myself with the lady at the front desk, and I'd gone and looked at my room, and my room, for the record, was a six-person mixed dorm room, which meant that there were six of us in three bunk beds, and I forget how many of us were girls, how many of us were guys. It kind of changed over the trip. It ended up being like a really, actually surprisingly cool style of accommodation, because everyone who was there was pretty chill. We didn't really interact too extensively with each other, but when we did see each other, we said hi, and we said, oh, what are you going to do today? Oh, I'm doing so-and-so. Oh, yeah, so-and-so's doing that. And so we made that kind of small talk, and it was very cozy because it was a small room, and it ended up being like a really kind of nice choice of accommodation. So for anybody who is going to be staying in the Tokyo area in the foreseeable future, I can recommend the Asakusa Smile Youth Hostel as one youth hostel that I really ended up enjoying. But I was at this hostel, and about 10 in the morning, I got a call on my cell phone telling me that my suitcase was at this particular bus terminal, and that I should call them for further details. And so I called the number that this lady gave me on the phone and was redirected to the bus terminal, and I asked where they were, and he gave me an address in Japanese, and I just scribbled down what sounded like the pronunciation without any conviction that I'd actually heard it correctly, and of course no idea how to write the kanji for whatever it was. But I wrote down this thing that was supposed to be an address where my suitcase was supposed to be, and then I went up to the hostel, the lady at the hostel front desk, and asked her for help figuring out where this address actually was in Tokyo, and we used Google Maps, and we found out that it was in a little part of Tokyo that was 30 minutes away by subway, and then another 30-minute walk from the subway station, and we printed my map out, and we printed out a subway sort of rendezvous table, because it turned out that from the familiar subway line, you had to transfer to another smaller line at, like, Ueno, there is no Ueda, at Ueno. And so, I went there, I transferred, got to the end of the station, and then I, after about, 25, 30 minutes of riding, arrived at the station from where I would have to start following my walking map. And this I did, and the thing that I noticed, first of all, is that it was kind of, sort of smaller and more on the outskirts and kind of more and dirtier, and it felt like an only slightly sketchy suburb of Tokyo. It didn't feel like downtown at all. It felt very, very anti-downtown, and there weren't very many people on the streets, and there was a homeless guy who chatted me up very gamely in English, which actually wasn't all that bad. His English was pretty good. But, I was waiting at the crosswalk, and he came up, and he talked to me, and he said he'd been to America, and he'd studied English in school, and how was I doing? But I walked, it was basically more or less in a straight line for 20, 25 minutes, kept my eye out for anything that might look like a bus terminal, realized that nothing really seemed to be coming up, and that I should probably ask someone for directions, but there really weren't any people on the street. The only person the only person in the area was a employee of Lawson's, which is a big convenience store chain in Japan, and there were two people outside the Lawson's convenience store, and they were both wearing Christmas-themed costumes, because this was Christmas Eve, and one of them was dressed as a reindeer, one of them was dressed as Santa, and they were both kind of shouting at me, because I was the only person around, about how they had a discount on fried chicken at Lawson's, and so you could go in and you could buy fried chicken for cheap, and did I want some? And kind of apprehensively, I went over and I asked the guy in the reindeer suit whether he knew where this bus terminal was, and I showed him my map, and he was like, "Oh, yeah, that's right over here, you walked right past it." And then he said, before I could really respond to this, "Here, I'll show you." And he basically walked me to the bus terminal, which was really only about a block and a half away. It was on a kind of side street that I hadn't noticed, but I was led to the bus terminal by a Lawson's convenience store employee wearing a reindeer suit. And he seemed, completely good-natured about the whole thing. He didn't seem to mind. I think I was more embarrassed on his behalf than he was. And so he walked me there. And then they did have my suitcase, and they were very gracious, and they were very confused about why I'd forgotten it, understandably so. But I got it back, and then I just walked it back 30 minutes, and then I took it on another 30 minutes worth of trains, and I finally unloaded it in my hostel. And that adventure was wrapped up successfully at about 2 in the afternoon. But I did a bunch of things in Tokyo that did not involve misadventures with my luggage. On that same day, I visited the Studio Ghibli Museum in Mitaka, and that was really pretty. Plus, at 5 o'clock that day, because it was Christmas Eve, they had an impromptu brass band concert, and so when I was actually just about thinking about leaving, you saw a bunch of people queuing, and I was, in the main area, and I wondered what they were there for, and they all of a sudden started playing music. And it was really pretty. It was just basically brass quartet arrangements of Christmas carols and of Studio Ghibli, film themes. They played the ending song from Spirited Away. They played, I think, something from Totoro. They played a medley of something. They played We Wish You a Merry Christmas. And it was really nice. Later that evening, I met up with a Japanese friend, Eriko, if you're keeping track of names. She's one of the people I met through my English conversation circle, because she was coincidentally in Tokyo at the same time visiting her boyfriend. And so, he and she and their mutual friend met up with me, and we went to see Christmas lights in Roppongi Hills, which is a neighborhood of Tokyo, and that was cool. When we were there, we happened to see a broadcast, or like a recording, a live recording of a weather reporter who was, I guess, doing a weather forecast from Roppongi Hills on Christmas Eve in Tokyo. And we tried to get on camera, but the take that we were on was evidently only a rehearsal take, so I don't think we actually appeared on TV. So, that was my Christmas Eve. It ended up being fun and action-packed, very busy, kind of, you know, no real time to contemplate anything other than the immediate task at hand. The next day, which was Christmas, was quite fun because I went to see the 11th live-action Prince of Tennis stage musical, which I had gotten tickets to via a Lawson's ticket-buying machine, as I mentioned, I'm pretty sure, in my last post. But yeah, I think, as I also mentioned in the last post, the Prince of Tennis live-action stage musical franchise is this completely ridiculous thing that makes me so happy. It is, I really, really kind of ridiculously enjoy watching these and keeping up with these and listening to the music and following along with the story, and it's completely campy, it's completely ridiculous, it's the antithesis of mature, sophisticated, compelling drama, but I love it anyway, or perhaps I love it because of that. But I saw it, and it was really neat. It was really cool to see live because the energy of the performers and the degree to which they seemed to be having a really good time was a lot more prevalent when I saw them like live on stage 10 feet away from my face than it ever had been on recordings. Like, you could really see that they were putting a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm into their dancing, into their singing, into their questionable acting. And then it was cool too, because at the end, they always do this in shows, they during the encore, they run out into the audience and they, you know, sing their final song. And you could really especially see when they were out in the audience that they were having a good time, and the audience was just like shrieking. They were so happy, and they were so like, and one of them actually ran pretty close to me, and so I could see that he was 5 feet away maybe, and I was like, I was the fifth row back, but I was way in the side, so even though I was close to the stage, I was not at an ideal angle for seeing. But he ran out into my aisle, and I could see that he basically, there was this girl in the center aisle who was kind of freaking out in a good way, and he was basically, he decided to sing to her, and she and her friends were like, ah! And, you know, just kind of pleasantly surprised, and he was just having a good time, and they were all having a good time, and it was fun. It was really enjoyable. Also, they flew on wires in this musical. I wasn't expecting that. It's a technical advancement over the feats that they have performed in musicals past. And so that was fun. That was entertaining. And after that, what did I do? I went to a copy shop and I got my Christmas card photocopied, which was, it ended up being a very satisfying experience. And then I met up with a friend of mine and we went to Akihabara, which is the electric town district in Tokyo, famous for its used electronics stores, its anime, manga, and video game stores. And we just kind of went and staked out, or just scoped out the area. And we saw, you know, we looked at different stores. It's funny because you always had to be careful in that almost every other store you ran into would be selling porn. And so you'd be like, oh. And after looking for a few seconds and feeling the stare of every other person in the store because you're the only two girls there, you know, and walking out again. But it was fun, and the, Christmas lights around there were really, really pretty. I think they were prettier than the ones that we'd seen the night before in Roppongi. But, that was Christmas Day. And it was, again, kind of exciting enough that I didn't really dwell or even think about the fact that it wasn't Christmas in the U.S. and that I was really not having a conventional Christmas and I wasn't, you know, doing the whole presents, family, food thing. The day after that, if I have my chronology right, is when I was able to meet up with two people from Carleton who I have no idea, well, one of them's almost certainly not listening because he it doesn't get these emails, but Emma may or may not be listening. If so, I applaud your endurance, but yeah, I saw John Jacobs and Emma Zoe because John is studying abroad at Waseda University in Tokyo, and Emma came over at the tail end of her winter break, and so I met up with them for the first time that evening. We were only able, I think, to kind of hang out for an hour or two before it got kind of late, and Emma's hostel kind of closed for the night, and I had to get back to my hostel. But we basically spent the next few days hanging out more or less exclusively with one another from, I guess, the 26th to the 28th, or not the 29th, the 29th I remember spending, I think, by myself. But it was cool. We did a bunch of things. We hit up more or less every single neighborhood I kind of wanted to visit in Tokyo. We went to Harajuku, we went to Shibuya, we went to Sunshine City, which is in Ikebukuro, and it's basically, well, I mean, it's this whole neighborhood, but it centers around this 60-story building. The 60-story building that has a whole bunch of, like, shops in it, and it has this mini game, like, amusement park, and it has, like, bunches of clothing stores, and it has this observatory up on the 60th floor where you can walk out and you can basically see almost all of Tokyo. And excitingly enough, when we were there, not only was this observatory an observatory, but it doubled as a showcase for a small WALL-E exhibit, randomly enough, because WALL-E, the film, had just come out in Japan, and so they had, like, models and they had some concept sketches from the film, and it was like a little just sort of WALL-E exhibit on the 60th floor of this building, and so we were able to see the beautiful Tokyo view, and we were able to see all these pictures and hear this music and see even like a few models and like sculpture things that were inspired by the film, and we saw lots of little children running around as well. But we did that. We went to Akihabara again, and this time we went to a maid cafe, which is a cafe where the waitresses are dressed up as maids, and a few characteristics of this cafe. They also, like, dress it up in sort of cutesy pink decor, but they also, when you come in, if you're a girl, they address you as princess in Japanese, and if you're a boy, they address you as master, like, or husband master, again in Japanese. Because the three of us constituted two girls and one guy, they called us both. Also, at this particular cafe, we were seated at this little, like, just kind of little sort of love nesty area that had a TV, and it had a Wii video game system right by it. And if you paid another fee, basically the way that these maid cafes earn their money is they charge a set fee for time spent in the cafe, and then they charge a fee in addition to that for things that you buy at the cafe. So, like, we paid, I don't know how much it was, I forget whether it was, like, I think it was $5 to spend 30 minutes there, and then we each bought, like, a dessert. But in addition to that, you could also pay to play video games on the Wii, and you could pay a slightly higher fee to play video games on the Wii with the maid, which we did not end up doing, but we did pay the set fee so that we could play Super Smash Bros. Brawl while we ate our desserts in the maid cafe. And we went there, we went, walked around other areas of Akihabara, we went to Asakusa, which is an area that, I forget the name of Kaminarimon, I think. It's like the big gate and the temple area, and it's basically this street of shops where that are very useful for buying souvenirs. Like, you can buy a lot of traditional looking fans and dolls and candy and other things that are very useful to bring back as souvenirs for Japan. And so we went there. And then the night of the 28th, we actually went to John Jacob's host family's house because they really, really very, very generously offered to let us eat there and then spend the night. And that was, I mean, the food was delicious, and it was just a really cool experience, so I'm glad that that happened. Unfortunately, I think that we, or at least they, ended up staying too late not too late is a awfully subjective term, but pretty late, to the point where the next day I had to get up at 8 and go back to my hostel and check out. And they basically, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you slept until like 5 in the evening, and ultimately I was not able to meet them because on that last day because they were sleepy and we were all doing different things. And so that was, I found ways to make the day pass, mostly by playing video games, but it was a little anticlimactic as a way to end the trip, but the trip itself was like a lot of fun. And so I was really happy. And I feel like I happy to have been in Tokyo, and I felt like I got a good use out of the city and did enough things without feeling burned out by them and that kind of thing. So I don't really think I have any regrets about the trip. I got back at 7 in the morning the next day to Kyoto and immediately was plunged into the whole New Year's ritual when I went to my host family's house, took an hour-long nap, and then woke up to find the house overrun with our neighbors and friends, because everybody was in the front room of what is normally my host dad's rice shop, making mochi, which is the kind of customary pounded rice cake that you make for New Year's in Japan. And because my host family runs a rice shop, there's a tradition in Japan of basically sending a lot of gifts at the end of the year to people you've worked with throughout the year, both in like a financial business sense, but also just, you know, people who've done you a good turn and people to whom you feel like you owe things and neighbors and friends. And so lots of gift giving all around. And because my host dad runs this company, he gets a lot of gifts from basically business partners. And among other things, it's resulted in us having crates of tangerines in the house that people send us. But he also, as his sort of end of the year gift, needed to make a lot of mochi to send out to these people, and so we were all piling in to help with that endeavor. And so my job was to dust the rice off of to dust the flour off of the mochi after it had been made and then dried. And so after I dusted off the flour, people would take the mochi and they would put it in boxes. And it was this whole kind of assembly line procedure, and it took the better part of the day, but it was really cool. And the mochi was really tasty. I mean, if you like rice cakes, which I do. And so it was just a very neat experience, and I felt like I was really kind of a part of it, and just, it was something that I felt like I could only do here. The next day, we did the other half of customary New Year's practices, which is New Year's house cleaning. And up until about 5 in the evening, I helped my host family do all sorts of things, clean the windows, wipe down the stairs. It's kind of top to bottom house cleaning. And so I did my part in that. And then after that, I did the less customary Japanese, but considerably sort of more typical American thing, in that I met up with some AKP people and we all went to a bar and got drunk. And that was fun. It was, it had its sort of ups and downs energy-wise. You know, you had, you know, quiet moment, noisy moment, excited moment. Someone got really drunk, yay, someone got too drunk, and then you had to, like, take care of them when they were too drunk, and then things got fun again. And I mean, it was really nice. And I, excitingly, this is basically one of the only days during the year that the trains are open all night. They run all night. And so I was able to stay out until 3 in the morning just hanging out with my friends and having a lot of discussions and having a safe, reasonable amount of alcohol. I think I was one of the people, by the end of the night, I was one of the least drunk people there. And it was really pleasant. Like, I was so happy just to have conversations with these people, and I just felt like we were having a really good time, and I was really happy to be around them. And that was a really pleasant experience, actually. The next day we did again, back to the sort of Japanese New Year's thing where my host family gathered with members of their extended family and we all ate, like, customary New Year's food and we watched New Year's TV specials. And that was, I mean, kind of low-key but nice, pleasant and enjoyable. Now, oh my gosh, we're almost at the 40-minute mark. That's exciting. Maybe. I've spent an hour talking on this microphone. But I think we're actually getting to the end of my winter break because that was, well, that was like the first. And then the next few days were sort of downtime days in which nothing happened. I mean, very literally, because I was actually unable to get a hold of anybody that I knew. Like, I called people and I left messages, but it just ended up being this weird coincidence of timing where people were busy or they lost their phones or they didn't check their phones or they didn't notice or they were sick because I wasn't really able to meet up with people or make any plans or anything. And so I just kind of hung out around the house. I read a book. I did different things. But jump a few days later and my mom came, and then the day after that, and I got the flu, and then we kind of connect to the material of my other voice posts. So, between the this and the that, you have more or less heard most of what I've been doing for the past month, and it has been busy. It has had its ups, and it's definitely had its downs, but it's had a lot of ups as well, and a lot of unique, distinctive experiences. And, it has been, I think I've talked mostly about everything that's happened. My voice is kind of hoarse. I think I should, like, drink more water, maybe. But, yeah, I think this is more or less a pretty comprehensive update on how I've been doing. And hopefully everybody on the other side of the world is doing well. I feel like I need to keep saying this, but I really, 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 really appreciate and enjoy the mails and things that you're sending me back, even if I don't or haven't yet been able to respond. I've been really abysmal at responding to your messages, but it really, really does make me amazingly happy when I see what somebody has to say, and I really appreciate that you guys are, saying such nice things, but then also just kind of thinking to inform me on how your lives are going and how everything's just treating you. And I hope that everybody is doing really well right now, and that if you're at Carleton, you're enjoying, I guess it's third week or fourth week, and that if you're not, you're enjoying whatever it is that you are doing, and that the winter isn't too cold or too unpleasant or too rainy. And I'm kind of enduring the cold over here. It's the worst in the morning when I wake up and I have to get out of bed and there's like no heating in my room, but everything else is pretty nice. And yeah, I think on that note I'm probably gonna finish my homework. And I hope that everybody has a really wonderful end of the week. And hopefully you'll hear from me again in not too much time. Okay, bye.